And welcome back to Midday. I'm Tom Hall. It's Thursday. That means it's the day we check in with our intrepid theater critic, J. Wynn Russick. Judy, how you doing?
Fine, thank you, Tom.
Good. So we're going to go from talking about the Triple Crown in racing to a musical called Crowns, which is a gospel musical. It's at the Arena Players here in Baltimore, which is an historic theater. It's the oldest African-American run community theater in the country.
That's absolutely right.
And this is a show that focuses on African-American church women. It has been produced, I guess, all over the country. Is this the first time that Arena has done it here in town?
Surprisingly, it is. Early in this play's history, it was produced at Arena Stage in Washington. That's where I first saw it back in 2003. And they've actually revived it at least three times. But somehow, Baltimore's Arena Players didn't get around to it until now. I think it's long overdue. This is, as you say, a gospel musical. It includes a slew of hymns, and it has lots of good roles, mostly for mature women with powerful voices. It's tailor-made for Arena Players. The crowns in the title refer not to horse racing, but to women's hats, especially the hats that they wear to church. And Arena Players has a cast that wears these hats and wears these roles with real flair.
It's a big week for hats in Baltimore.
Oh, yes,
definitely. Because of all the hats that get, rocked at the Preakness. So Crowns, I guess, is adopted from a book. Is that right?
It is, and it's a rather unusual source for a musical or for a stage play at all. It's a book called Crowns. The subtitle is Portraits of Black Women in Church Hats. It's by Michael Cunningham, a photographer, with text by Craig Marbury. And it is primarily a book of photos. Playwright Regina Taylor fleshed it out with gospel songs, and she added a very thin plot. The gist of it is this. A New York high school student named Yolanda is sent to live with her grandmother in South Carolina after Yolanda's brother is murdered. When we meet Yolanda, she's wearing her brother's red baseball cap backwards, sort of in memory and also in defiance. Her grandmother, Mother Shaw, is a very strong presence in her church, and she and the other women in the church try to welcome this reluctant, grieving teenager and along the way to pass along some life lessons and some spirituality. I brought you a sample of a hymn. This is sung just before a section in which Yolanda talks about the night her brother was killed.
Mary, don't you weep.
Tell Martha not to mourn.
Tell Martha not to mourn.
Pharaoh's army.
Pharaoh's army.
You know that they drown
in the Red Sea.
Singing Mary.
Oh, Mary, don't you weep.
Tell Martha not to mourn.
Mary, don't you weep. That's the cast of Crowns at Arena Players. They're led by Stephen Maurice in that scene. He plays the role of the pastor. So, Judy, from your description, I might have thought that Crowns was all women. It's all about church women, but it's clearly not an all-female cast. What's the makeup of this troupe?
Well, Tom, it's a cast of seven, six of whom are women. And there's also, besides the pastor, there's an offstage male drummer at Arena Players. All of these women have different styles and different demeanors and different stories to tell. About a third of the way into the show, they start talking about hattitude. This is having the correct attitude, the attitude that it takes to wear a hat. And besides color and style, there are hat rules. Here are some of the rules. Don't let anyone touch the hat. Don't let anyone knock into the hat. And don't hug too close. They demonstrate the proper hug. It's kind of a hug
version.
Yeah,
a hat hug is different than a bro hug.
Right, yeah. Right. Oh, definitely. Right. It's kind of the hug version of an air kiss. So you sort of lean to one side and you don't get too close. but they also explain that wearing hats isn't just about looking good for the other church women. It's about looking good before God, because the Bible says a woman's head should be covered.
So clearly, though, Crowns is more than, it's more about stuff, just hats, right? It's more about hats.
Yes, it
more
is.
More than just
yes,
about
it
hats.
Yes, right. It is about more than just hats. The women share stories that hats figure into, and the stories are often bigger than the hats themselves. And these are some pretty big hats. So there's a good bit of African-American history. During slavery, church was the only place slaves were allowed to congregate, so you dressed your best and you wore a hat. Civil rights figures into this. One woman talks about going to Bennett College, an all-women's college in Greensboro, North Carolina. According to the dress code, students had to wear hats off campus. The one time the college president made an exception to this and allowed them to go without hats was when they picketed Woolworth's lunch counter, and that, of course, turned out to play an important part in desegregation. There's a female funeral director who talks about a woman who insisted that her mother be buried in her hat, and that sort of seems to start a trend. We hear from a woman who owns 200 hats, and there's another who has a coveted vintage hat, and she says, one of my favorite lines, "I'd lend my children before I'd lend my hats. I know my children know their way home." So there's also comedy. In fact, I brought a clip that features both a character who's a leader, the preacher's wife, played by Katrina Y. Jones, and humor. And listen carefully to the last line of this, because it got a really big laugh when I saw the show.
"As the first lady of the church, if I came in there in dresses with splits all the way up my leg, then I couldn't ever tell the young women that this or that is not appropriate. Sometimes, for example, women will wear those short skirts to church. If they sit on the front row, I tell the nurse to go and put a scarf over their legs. I mean, my husband's up there trying to preach, and some woman's sitting on the front row with their gates of hell wide open."
The gates of hell. That was Katrina Jones in Arena Players' production of Crown. So, Judy, this plot, how does it get resolved?
Well, it does sort of get resolved. The New York teenager Yolanda accepts her place in her grandmother's church community. But I have to say there are some directorial and some acting problems that diminish this a little. Monye Stooks, who plays Yolanda, doesn't show enough initial resistance to her situation. Director Kwame Kenyatta Bey seats her on one side of the stage, and the rest of the cast often addresses their performances to her. But this is a Yolanda who seems more detached than distressed. For example, the character's opening lines could be done as a rap, but Miss Stooks performs them more like traditional poetry, which lessens the effect when Yolanda finally comes around. It's not quite enough of a dramatic transformation.
So I got to ask you, because we just have a little bit of time left, we got to talk about the hats. Are they really good hats in this show?
They are. They are really good hats. There's a wide range of hats, from African-style hats to hats with broad brims and hats with sparkles and flowers and feathers. And just, you mentioned the Preakness, of course. You've been talking about the Preakness. Women going to the Preakness Saturday could get pointers from the hats at Arena Players. And I have to say, finally, as someone who likes to wear hats myself, I tip my hat to Arena Players production.
Tip your hat to Arena Players. All right, Crowns, the gospel music. It's over there at Arena Players in Baltimore until the 4th of June. And we've got a link to details about showtimes and whatnot at WIPR.org/midday. So next week, Judy, what are we going to talk about?
Next week, we're going to be talking about Annex Theater's production of The King of Howard Street. And this is notable for several reasons. It's original, and it features a Baltimorean, and it is the first show in La Mondo, the new artist collective on Howard Street.
Okay, the new show, or the new place over on Howard.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll see you then. Appreciate
see
it.
See you then.
Judy Russick is our film, our theater critic here at Midday Lunch today, provided by Eddie's of Roland Park. We're grateful to them. Eddie's is a full-service market with locations on North Charles Street and on Roland Avenue in Roland Park. Their deli features sandwiches and salads with specials each and every day, listed on their website, eddiesofrolandpark.com. That'll do it for us today. Tomorrow it's the Midday News Wrap, where we will recap the news of the week with Scott Shane in the New York Times, Wesley Lowery of the Washington Post, Stephen Babcock of Technically Baltimore, and conservative columnist Richard Cross. Hope you can join us then. Stay tuned for Here and Now, which is on the way right after a break for the news at the top of the hour. I'm Tom Hall. Glad you joined us. Have a great day.